gentlemen, boys and girls, and even test tube babies, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. In fact, let's try that with a James Bond lisp. Broadcasting live from the sunny slave South Pacific. I can't continue to do that. Anyway, we were supposed to have a guest turn up, but they haven't. So we're going to be turning on the lines, ladies and gentlemen, because there is much to discuss. There always is. And what I've discovered recently is that YouTube is really, really putting truthers out there. Like, really? As in, they outrank now the mainstream news channels. In most cases, the bigger truther channels. Okay. Mainstream media apparatus, $1 million budgets. Truther apparatus, he's living hand to mouth and he's beating them. Why do you think that is? Do you think it was because the majority of society have just, oh, they've just gone crazy? You know, they believe in conspiracy theories and whatnot. You know? They believe that powerful people use their power. Oh, how foolish and naive. Nobody uses power. Nobody does meetings behind back doors. Oh, you naive crackhead. Honestly, anybody who denies in any way, shape, or form that there's conspiracy going on is on crack. They must be. Because how else would you be able to make up such a convincing reality except through the use and constant injection of crack directly into the bloodstream? These people are nuts. It's pretty straightforward and obvious from where I'm sitting anyway. You know, have a look at the things that crackheads do. They behave really strangely. They make up lies all the time. They're constantly stealing things. They are living in a reality that is not here. They talk to people that aren't there. They believe things that are so not real. They get psycho and start attacking people and all of that kind of stuff. You know, these are not the symptoms of a crackhead only. These are also the symptoms of being a politician, of being a media personality scumbaggery filthmonger, or some description of Uber CEO business head honcho, like the CEO of BP, for instance. I just had a short chat with Deborah Dupre, who's down in the Gulf of Mexico right now. Yes, that's right. The Gulf of Mexico does still exist, and it's still poisoned, and people are still literally, and I'm not making a joke here because it's deadly serious, bleeding from every orifice. It is not something that even the truth media is covering anymore. So we're going to be having her on in a couple of weeks' time. And this kind of psychopathic behavior where they would wantonly engage in scumbaggery, polluting the entirety of the Gulf Coast forever, as far as I see, that people are eating fish with three fins. I'm not joking. This is happening. Fish that are like born blind or have lesions on them. There's that place, the Gulf Coast, is dead. The whole place is basically becoming turned into a dead zone, both at sea and on land. I'd actually be interested to see if there's any of the stuff washing up on Cuba's shores. You know, is this crossing a couple of boundaries here? We had videos around the time of the Gulf massacre of millions, like tens of millions of shellfish washing ashore each day on one beach near Pakistan. There's a hell of a lot of death going on out there, and people had best wake up and realize that they're not being told about the scariest and most terrible things. So, naturally, just assume the worst and hope for the best. It's about the best you can do. It's also preparation and searching out information. But, unfortunately, our mainstream media do not do that. And this is the reason why they are losing the battle on YouTube. Resoundingly, even. Just found out that I'm in the top 100 most subscribed in the whole of New Zealand. That's above all the people that do all their music videos and go to big gigs like Lady Gaga and what have you. It's up there with all of those mainstream tossers, essentially. Now, is that because people just like to tune in to insanity and they clearly just have lost their mind and they don't believe that Lady Gaga's important anymore? I mean, what kind of mental illness is this? It's just so... the effects just simply ravage the human race, don't they? Of people who actually care about what happens in their country or to others around the world that is of a incredibly deep and important and dangerous genocidal nature? Is that such a bad thing, being aware of this and trying to prevent it and trying to stop people from selling off your state assets and turning your whole country into a private bankster wasteland like they're doing to Greece right now? Did you know that certain government employees will have to pay to keep their jobs? Certain people will have to have clawbacks on their pay. Those who still have jobs, of course. And most of them only now work for the government. Is that what you want? Because that's coming. It's coming here, whether or not you like it. So you have a question to face here. Do you want to default, or do you want your entire country, assets, and people, not just fictionally, but fiscally, bonded into slavery until the end of time, until you do something about it? What I think it's a pretty straightforward answer. You either suffer a lot now, or you suffer forever. In silent agony, watching everything that previous generations had built, had bought, had gathered, had worked, had constructed, everything given to the bankers. Not just sold, but given. And when I say that, I'm not saying that the money that they make up out of thin air is worth anything. Okay? What? How can you put a price on the Acropolis, the big as iconic ancient ruin that sits above Athens and Greece? Okay? How do you put a price tag on your nation's history? What, you think the tourists go through there everywhere? Yeah, now that that monument to our past and this foundation of democracy is just a commodity? There are some things that are worth more than money. Almost every single one of them, in fact, is worth more than the money because, as I said, it's made up out of thin air. You go to a computer. If you have the password, if you are one of those authorized people to create currency within the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, IMF, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, all these big player banks have people inside them that literally have the capacity to create money into the supply through their relative reserve systems at will. Have you ever seen somebody who can create $1 trillion with the click of his fingers or the click of a mouse? I don't think you've ever seen any of these people, and you probably won't, because they all wear the same clothes as everybody else. A suit and a tie and some very expensive Valentino pants. And they just look sharp. And they have titles like Sir and Lord, etc. So naturally, people look up to them, respect them, and never suspect that they are the person who has their hands around your throat. They're the people that are choking the life out of you. These are the people that have been raised basically from birth to be a benevolent enslaver. And this is how they think of themselves. Oh, I'm just enslaving people for their own good. They're obviously too stupid to look after themselves. Life's only survived for like how many thousands of years? Goodness knows how long we've been here before that. Got aborigines that are like 50,000 years old, some allegedly even older than that. It's out of control. Okay, some people are just so obsessed with themselves and obsessed with their capacity to control life that they've forgotten that there is no such thing as control. It is an illusion, and it's only temporary at best. So in an effort to maintain their control, they are trying to get everybody into as monstrous a debt as Greece is in. And New Zealand has just capped our debt ceiling. Okay, this is like the most debt we've ever been in. Newspapers report $50 billion. Okay. And they claim that we're going to be in a $190 billion or something like that by 2015. And then they have the audacity of saying that, oh, we're actually going to be in a surplus. And this was a few weeks earlier, of course, before this debt ceiling news came out, that by 2015, we're going to have a surplus of like $397 million. Okay, right. So it's like half of like a 1% of a quarter of a fraction of something that we're in debt to. And that's what you call a surplus? Again, back to the crack. These people are smoking it all day long. Honestly, it is not the beehive that is in Wellington. It's the crack hive. It's a hive of crack-related activity. And they assemble crack teams to destroy your entire economy out from under you so that they can usurp all your resources and attack everything that you got. From every direction. They're relentless. You know? It's like, I don't know, there was a Dave Chappelle skinny. You shoot a crackhead and they're just like, ooh. And they come back and they keep coming. You know, no matter how many times you shoot them or stab them or taser them or stick them in the eyeballs with knitting needles, they keep coming. And it's just the same response as you need to conduct with a crackhead is the government. You have to detox. To get them into a... And you have to make sure that they don't wind up killing themselves and taking you with them. Okay? They're toxic individuals. They need intense attention. Attention which, of course, as is with most crackheads, their family, meaning us, the people, is not willing to provide and simply ignore it and watch them go down and drag them down with them after stealing all the stuff in their house. Okay? It's a kleptocracy, crackocracy, hypocrisy, democracy that we have in our nations today. There is no sobriety. It is all of the crackhead mentality. And this is actually true in some sense as well. Did you know that Hitler was on crack? Well, you know, like methamphetamine I'm referring to, not the cocaine and what have you, rock salt buzz that some people are smoking in the inner city suburbs after it got shipped in through the CIA. not that kind of crack. But I'm talking about pure methamphetamine. Some people call it ice. Some people have other names for it. However, Hitler, oh yeah, boy was he doing it. Japanese pilots, oh boy were they on it. And they noticed that some of their pilots started going nuts and flying their planes into ships. Because they were on crack. This is where all this insane behavior comes from, you know. We have a drug problem in this country. Absolutely. 50%+ of people vote for John Key. Obviously, we've at least got a drinking problem in this country. You know? Some countries think that, oh, we drink a lot here. But, you know, they're not statistically number one. Only New Zealand is. Okay? And you'd have to be one heck of a medicated nation in order to sit back, watch everything that's going on, and decide that it's too big for you, so you're not going to try anything at all and just watch it happen. And later on, regret that you could have done something and didn't. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel intensely guilty when I do things that are wrong, when I don't do things that are right as well. And quite frankly, it's the massive fear and uncomfortableness that guilt gives me, that forces me and compels me to talk about all these things that I do. Because they're much more important than Lady Gaga. They're much more important than the next cooking show that is on after four previous cooking shows on different television channels as you sit there, flip through them mindlessly, watching food that you will never cook in your life. And even if you did cook it, it wouldn't be half as good. Our priorities are out of whack. And I'm sorry if some people get offended that I call them on their inaccuracies and their stupidity and their scumbaggery. But it must be done in order to change the current of this torrent of sewage and BS that we call the media. And it must be changed because we don't have much of a choice. That's basically it. You know, wake up. Stop messing around. If there is some description of scumbaggery afoot, it is your responsibility, if you know about it, to do something about it. And if you don't know something about it, then listen to the person who does and make up your own fracking mind. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a minute. 218-339-8525. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from this fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny, slave South Pacific. The much fruitier Pacific contribution to the battle against the New World Order, and I mean fruity in a good way. My very special guest is Mark Persio. Am I saying that correctly? Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am, Vincent. Yes, you're saying it correctly, Passio, yes.
All right, excellent. Well, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us all who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I'm an independent researcher and an activist here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have been studying mind control and the world of the occult for many, many years of my life. I've come from a background of direct experience in the world of the dark occult. Years ago, I was involved with the Church of Satan in a capacity as a priest of that organization, and learned a lot about how Satanism and the dark occult in general is integrated into just about every institutionalized aspect of our society. And upon understanding that, I started to pull back from that entire worldview because I developed a conscience. And realizing that this was about the destruction of all human freedom, I essentially decided to abandon that that worldview and that lifestyle and start to try to expose it and help people to understand the methodologies of mind control that were being used against them in just about every aspect of our society.
Well, let's use a case study then. The U.S. current elections and Ron Paul. He's being censored from the media. There's clear voter fraud being admitted even in the mainstream media. And yet, people still think it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, this is a clear example of Hegelian dialectic employed, the controlled opposition of the two-party system. It's all there basically designed to get people to choose between rulers as opposed to really understanding a higher perspective of consciousness that there really should be no rulers at all.
Indeed. Well, I feel that what's happening is essentially the occultists have taken over the game, essentially. It's called the game of life, and they control virtually every single aspect of it. And it's quite scary when you recognize that our society is structured specifically by occult Satanists. Like all our institutions, down through the education, down through the media, down through the business models, down through the politicians, the political parties, everything. It's all been very well infiltrated. And the philosophies and the dogma and the practices and the implementation of rule, etc., is very much occult and satanic in nature.
It's something that most people really don't want to admit. They don't want to look into it. They'd rather stay in denial about it. It really comes down to that the satanic worldview has been infiltrated into modern life in on this planet. Their tenets have been accepted by most people as opposed to the truth being accepted. And their tenets are very simple and very dark, but they really need to be understood by people because most people do not have an accurate grasp of what the ideology of Satanism, dark Luciferianism, dark occultism in general is all about. They have this erroneous notion that it's this Hollywood type, ghosts and goblins and, you know, dark trappings, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with that. It's a lifestyle and an ideology that is centered around a few core ideological tenets. And those tenets are, number one, that the self is higher than everything else, meaning that self-preservation is the highest law, and that what is good for the self is what is good, and what is bad for the self is what is bad. So it doesn't make a difference what happens to anyone else in the world as long as your needs are being met. That's the first tenet. The second tenet is moral relativism. Okay, moral relativism is the idea that there is no objective right or wrong. There is no standard of morality and no standard on which right or wrong action could be based or judged. Everything is relative. And again, what's right for me is what's right. What's wrong for me is what's wrong. If I have to destroy the life of someone else to get what I want, then that's right because it's right for me. You know, it benefited me.
So in essence, it's basically just a convenient excuse that you can give for amoral behavior.
Exactly. It's an excuse to basically do whatever you want, regardless of how much your actions may harm another human being.
And what was the phrase? Do as thou wilt.
In a perverted sense, yes, definitely. You know, I think that phrase was basically intended by Crowley to mean do the higher will, not the selfish egoic will. I don't think he lived according to that standard at all. But even though that phrase is kind of misunderstood in its original occult connotation, how it was meant, to be taken, I think that that is the way that they that the dark occultists live through perverting that tenet of do the will. That's supposed to mean the higher case will, the capital W will, in other words, you know, the will of creation to bring about truth and prosperity and freedom and peace. But they have perverted it into do the selfish will, do whatever you want, and regardless of who that harms, it's meaningless because the highest aspiration is to simply serve the self.
And, is it a direct agenda then to manipulate what's good and turn it round and do the opposite of what it is and make people think that it's still the right way round?
Right. It's to get people to live a self-serving hedonistic lifestyle, regardless of what kinds of injustices and oppression may be happening to the people around them, because, in their minds, they're thinking, hey, as long as I'm comfortable right now in the moment, it doesn't make a difference what's happening that's unjust all around me. And that is a a way of thinking that is a direct reflection of satanic ideology, and it's more widespread than anyone could possibly conceive. It's more widespread than anyone wants to admit, that this nation, and indeed pretty much all of civilization, has become, their thoughts have become directed in this satanic ideology, such that we are losing our freedoms as a direct result of thinking this way. It's a worldview shift that needs to take place in order to reverse our current trend as regards to human freedom.
Well, Mark, as you've been saying, just through these very short few tenets, things have come to mind, people I've spoken to, friends, etc., that fit into those exact same worldviews, and they're not occultists at all, but they still believe in the occultic tenets, and that's right. Why it has become so well infiltrated is because people are starting to believe this stuff, believing that there's something logical and there's something decent and moralistic behind it, when the reality is
there's only the hand of Satan.
Sure. It's you know, another one of their tenets is eugenics, and we see a lot of people, you know, with the belief system that there's too many people and people need to be, you know, done away with, and the human herd has to be thinned, and a lot of regular people subscribe to this belief even though they're not part of this quote elite cabal, you know, but they have bought into that worldview, and that's the most dangerous and poisonous thing that can actually happen. Their mind has been subverted by this poisoned worldview that is continuously injected into the mass consciousness of humanity through the media that is controlled directly by these elitists and these globalists, and they're continuously trying to get people to align themselves with their darkened, poisoned worldview. And that's one of the most dangerous things that can happen, because once you take on that negative worldview, it's just a short matter of course until you start accepting their other basic ideological tenets as your own. And that is indeed what has happened. And as I've said, if this moral relativistic, hedonistic, and solipsistic worldview is not rejected, and a solipsism is another thing that a lot of people buy into. What that is the general belief that there is no such thing as truth, as any objective truth whatsoever, that truth is relative, that what I believe in as truth may be just as valid as what anyone else believes in as truth, that it's all relative, that truth is different for each individual, that there's no objective reality that stands forth as inherently true. And this is a very dangerous ideology. As a matter of fact, in Satanism, to other Satanists, this is considered a sin, in the dark occult world. But they're constantly trying to get other people to buy into that, because they themselves know that there's such a thing as truth, and there's such a thing as the way things actually are and can be discovered to be. But they want other people in this continuous mindset of doubt, a perpetual doubt and perpetual relativistic thoughts, such that they are never even going to begin going on a search for truth, because they don't believe there is any such thing.
Well, can I ask you something? Is another one of the tenets oneness?
I would say it is not, because they look at things as inherently separate, as an individual basically stands on his own, is separate from everything else. And that individual, viewing themselves in their egoic mind state, should see themselves as God, should see themselves as the most important thing in creation. And everything else is basically separate from that. And it's kind of like the worldview in their mindset is all about trying to dominate and control whatever forces and whatever circumstances that you can, such that you come out on top at the expense of anyone else that you have to step on to get there.
So does that include collectivism and teaching that to people? thinking that I don't have any value and the collective is what's best. And the Satanists think that actually they don't believe in collectivism, but they know that if they get everybody else to believe in it, they'll wind up on top.
That's exactly what they're trying to propagate. That's why they're teaching that mindset, and they're not really thinking along those lines. They're very, very strong individualists who really value the self. But again, I'm not talking about the higher aspects of the self. I'm talking about the five-sense material world basis of the self only.
Where the most pleasure you can derive is from cocaine and sex with porn stars that you import from Serbia.
It's all about indulgence, you know, indulgence in the moment because there is no hereafter and, you know, this is all there is and get as much as you can and he who dies with the most toys wins. It really is an ideology that reflects all of those, that basic hedonistic, you know, way of viewing the world. So, they want other people not to think that way. To think not in the sense of being an individual and having having individual inherent rights. They want people to think in collective terms so that they become easier to control. In their mindset, controlling an entire population of individuals is as simple as controlling one individual. They look at people as a herd animal because they have conditioned them into thinking with herd mentality. So, corralling them is as simple as, corralling an entire population is as simple as corralling one individual into a way of looking at things, into a way of seeing the world.
And you could be letting them into a nice, beautiful paddock with green pastures where they'll be treated carefully and nicely and they'll have trees to shield them from the sun. Or they could be getting onto cattle cars, literally.
It's all about making people agree to the erroneous notion that authority is real, that some people have the right to rule other people because in some way they're inherently superior to them and they have special rights which other people do not have, and that it is a moral virtue to obey this authority that comes down arbitrarily through some individuals and that others simply don't have or because they're not in certain positions in certain institutions. And that is the entire collectivist authoritarian mindset that is going to allow these people to continue to get away with the crimes and with the horrors that they have been able to get away with thus far throughout human history.
And I feel that this world that we live in has become a roller coaster ride because everybody's been riding on a beautiful, beautiful uphill scale of lies. All of a sudden, once the truth is released, they wind up going through the corkscrews. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mark Passio, and we'll be right back after the break.
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we all get, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll respect our right to live here on the land.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about foreclosures and defaults. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Fabulous little network broadcasting the truth and some of the best radio talk show content in the world. And the hits on the website reflect that, indeedy duty, because a lot of the people that listen in, watch the videos and all of that kind of stuff, from all the American Freedom Radio Show hosts, all the people that I've looked at, the people that listen to them are very good people in general, people who care, people who are intelligent even. And so thank you very much, because we feel very appreciated by you listening, and that's why we keep doing what we're doing, because it's such an encouraging thought to know that such fine individuals will take time out of their day to listen to us talk about occult symbolism. My very special guest is Mark Passio. Welcome back. Now, we were talking about how Satanism is kind of like this, almost like an upside-downer mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like, they make people believe in things that they definitely don't believe in, only yes. because it'll disadvantage them and make them easier to control.
Exactly. So the trick is understanding that these are psychopathic individuals at the highest levels of our institutions of society, and all they really are about is preying on other individuals. They're about preying on people so that they can get what they want at the expense of everyone else's well-being. They look at it as, you know, life is a dog-eat-dog game, and there has to be losers for there to be any winners. And this is a fundamental worldview that most people have bought into. That's what they're propagating. See, they can only control us if we take their basic worldview, that people are generally bad, people are generally negative, that it's always been this way, and that it will always be this way. And that there is scarcity and lack, and that's entirely a fear-based way of looking at reality. And until we abandon that worldview, we're going to be basically easy prey for their predation, manipulation, and ultimately their predation.
Yeah, I mean, they use that as a convenient excuse to do bad things. Oh, everybody's bad. I can just do it. You know, it's just like everybody's chucking bottles off the bridge. I can do that. Everybody's spitting on the ground. I can do that. Everybody's raping women next door. I can do that. You know, it's just where does the line get drawn with people? And that's why they incrementally introduce you to this stuff so that it slowly gets worse so you don't even notice. And then before you know it, oh, my God, I'm living in a giant architectural pentagram that has satanic symbolism on my uniform. Unbelievable. I'm working in a parliament building that has a giant Illuminati pyramid on top of it, and the flag is right above that, as is the case in Canberra, the Australian parliament. Okay, see, this is the thing. It roots itself in your everyday life, in your everyday institutions. It's all satanic, you know? But this is the worst subject to ever discuss on air, isn't it, Mark? Because it's the worst one you could ever come to realize is true. Everything is very, very nasty and dark out there, and you never noticed until now.
Well, I think it's because more light is coming up in humanity. The realization of these things is switching on. And we're experiencing a fundamental worldview shift. And, if you sat in squalor, in darkness, for, you know, a long time, and you suddenly turned on the light, then you would be able to see the squalor that's all around you. Whereas if you were still sitting in darkness, you wouldn't recognize how dirty and filthy things had become. So because more light is coming into the world and people are kind of coming out of this trance, we're really recognizing something that has been there all along and seeing it for what it is finally. And that is a healthy process that needs to continue and actually grow. And as it does, we'll see just how deep this rabbit hole does go and how infiltrated these psychopaths have been into every one of our cultural institutions. And that's a healthy process. The dark needs to be looked at. It needs to be confronted in order to go through it and to change it and ultimately make it better. People who think that you should not ever look at the darkness and not, pay attention to what has been going wrong, okay, are not understanding that you need to have a full grasp of that if you're going to make an accurate diagnosis and then if you're going to ultimately reverse that trend. I would not say to dwell on the darkness to a point where you become so depressed that you can't you can't enjoy life, you can't interject any humor into anything or anything like that. Dwelling on it and obsessing on it is something entirely different than looking at it, confronting it, and then dealing with it. That's what has to be done from a healthy psychological perspective. But definitely, I wouldn't advocate continuous dwelling on it and obsessing over it.
Absolutely. The rabbit hole does go deep. And if you remember, Alice didn't actually enjoy every part of her trip through Wonderland, did she? Some of it was very scary and dangerous and what have you, and could have conceivably driven her nuts. And the exact same thing is true here. You do have a lot of people who put their head in the occult bucket, basically, and just keep it there for long periods of time, and it's all they talk about. And what happens is it winds up driving everybody else away. It's because you're getting too far into it. It doesn't mean that you can't research it very well, but you also have to stop and take some time to process it. Go back to that level of sanity and happiness and joy that you had before, because that is your true protection from the darkness. Knowing that you can, in fact, will yourself better without the need of drugs or anything else.
Exactly. And this is one of the main reasons that while I did focus on a lot of these methodologies of manipulation through the first over a year and a half on my own radio show, I kind of transitioned finally away from looking at that darkness and toward solutions-oriented approaches toward changing consciousness for the better. And that's what we've been focusing on over the last several months on my show, and will continue to focus on over the many months to come.
Our world is a very interesting place, and when you look really, really deep, you find out that those people that you were supposed to have trusted to, you know, have decent judgment or to direct your economy in certain ways, they're actually doing the direct opposite of everything that they told you. Everything, quite literally. Is that a satanic principle as well, to turn everything that's true into a lie?
I think that's one of the main tenets of dark occultism in general. It's the inversion of all truth. It is the inversion of life. It's turning life into death, ultimately, by getting people to accept completely, fundamentally flawed axioms of life, and then to enact behavior based on those flawed axioms and those illusions, and therefore drive them into a path of self-inflicted suffering. And that's the antithesis of life. That's the antithesis of what life is supposed to be all about, which is to grow and learn and evolve, you know, and come up to higher and higher levels of consciousness and awareness and prosperity and harmony with the natural law. So that is the role of what these dark occultists are trying to do. They want to invert everything, you know, just like they invert symbolism. They take a positive symbol and they invert it. You know, Hitler took the Hindu swastika and inverted it to create, you know, his symbol for the Third Reich, which was, you know, just basically took a symbol that had traditionally throughout millennia meant peace and prosperity, and he turned it into a symbol of death. Satanists will take the cross, which has traditionally been used to represent harmony in the universe, and it's, you know, in the Christian tradition, it represented the Christ consciousness, and then they invert it and use it as a symbol of, you know, darkness. The pentagram, the pentacle, an upright five-pointed star, has been traditionally used to represent man in balance with the forces of nature, the spirit ruling in its proper element above the other four elements of nature, earth, air, water, and fire. But the Satanist inverts those to crush the spirit, to make the material world reign above the spirit. So that's what an inverted pentagram represents. They're all about inversions and the antitheses of the positive, because it's a cult of negativity and ultimately a cult of death.
Now, a lot of people come to the extremes, and they see anybody who's a part of any occult dark order or anything like that is instantly a bad person. You cannot trust them. Get the frack away from them. Is there any real reason to actually behave in such a way? Like, if somebody is a practicing Satanist, are they inherently a bad person because of what they believe, or is it just a matter of just how high up they are? Once you get incredibly high, then you're definitely a bad person.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it means that they're simply an inherently bad human being. I think they may have bought into a worldview that is, again, poisoned and fundamentally flawed, and they may not realize that and they may not realize the destructive potential of that worldview. That being said, someone might want to try to help that person come out of that poisonous way of looking at reality and, come into alignment with natural law and truth. I do think that, however, caution definitely needs to be exercised, because you don't necessarily know how far gone this individual's mindset is. You don't necessarily know how far up the hierarchy they have been groomed. So I would definitely exercise, advocate an air of caution there when dealing with somebody who is ensconced in the dark occult in general. It isn't to say that that person is hopelessly lost and could not reverse their psychological darkness that exists and dwells within themselves,
I've seen a couple of these ex-occult people, and many of them, the thing that saves them, they claim, is Jesus. And I'm not sure about all of this stuff going on in my backyard today, but we'll ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with my very special guest, Mark Passio. Now, I have a number of elements that we kind of discussed over the break that I think should probably be repeated on air. But before we do that, I wanted to get your particular wake-up story. Exactly what is it that woke you up to this satanic system and the New World Order as such?
Well, I've told people this many times, and simply put, the answer is enormity of suffering in my own personal life is what woke me up. And I know that's like a really dark way of putting it. And, it paints a dark picture in the minds of most people that hear that, but it's really the truth. Natural law basically gave me the conditions and circumstances in my life that I needed to suffer enough to a point where it was either going to be death or abandon the illusory and erroneous worldview that I had bought into and raise myself up in consciousness by an act of my own will. And of course, I chose that latter path as opposed to staying attached to those destructive worldviews. And as they say, the rest is history. It proceeded from there slowly, but it did proceed. And, finally that awakening process accelerated. But it started really with me suffering so much and being in such a state of continuous depression that I had to reevaluate my position and my worldview. And I had to basically confront what was going on within my own psyche enough that I could admit to myself that I was wrong. And that's what began that process of awakening for me.
Yeah. And that's a true story for myself as well. Immense amounts of personal suffering, a lot of depression that forced you to reevaluate everything and then basically turn your entire direction around, pull in a 180, doing virtually the opposite of what you used to, right. Because you realized that you've been heading in the wrong direction the whole time.
That's right.
And, and sometimes when you've been traveling in the wrong direction for a long time and you turn and you realize it and you've got to turn around, it takes you a hell of a lot of time to get back to the beginning.
Sometimes it could be like, turning an aircraft carrier around because it builds up a lot of momentum in one direction, and that process isn't easy. Sometimes it's quite painful because you have to admit so much about what you had been doing was wrong, and that's why most people don't want to make that change, because it's very painful for them to admit that they were duped, that they were doing the wrong things in life. And change is difficult sometimes. It's not always easy. The things that you do need to do to make those changes, I wouldn't say are overly complex. They're quite simple in a lot of respects. But as far as being easy, I would also say that they are not necessarily easy. They can be very challenging, and they could require a lot of willpower in order to actually affect those changes in one's life. This is why most people don't want to go through that process. This is why most people still are in denial over the destructive capacities of their own worldview. They don't want the responsibility that goes hand in hand with waking up, because once you know, that's not the beginning. That's not the end of the process. That's only the beginning. Once you know, then you develop a responsibility to communicate this knowledge and information to other people so that you can help them, assist them in going through that same transformative process that you went through for the betterment of yourself.
Exactly. I mean, you've gained this knowledge the hard way. And once you gain knowledge, you realize that it's very powerful, the knowledge that you have. And in my estimations, the more power through knowledge that you have, the more corruptible you become. Unless, of course, you share that knowledge and you share it for free and you give it out to everybody else so that you're not trying to hoard it for yourself. You're not doing it for your own self-interest. You're doing it for everybody's benefits, for everybody's interest. It's sacrificing your own time, your own other potential futures and what have you. That's what you really do have to sacrifice. Yes. And it does take a lot of trauma to reach a decision like that. A lot of people to talk to you before you reach a decision like that. A lot of documentaries, a lot of reading. This isn't some magical truther switch that just gets popped on one day. It leads. There is a switch that leads to an awakening, but you're the one who has to go all the way up all of those stairs to that giant Chinese mansion on the top of the giant Chinese hill.
It's a continuous act of will, and it takes a lot of time investment to do it. It takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of focused attention. Yeah. Again, simple, yes, but easy, not necessarily. I don't think it has to be that immensely challenging or difficult for some people. I don't think they have to go into the depths of depression or the depths of suffering that some people do. Again, it that is dependent on how attached they are to a particular worldview, how attached they are to a certain way of seeing themselves and other people in life. And I was very attached to my worldview in the past, and that's why it took such an amount of time and why it took so much suffering to make that change, to accomplish that change, and that fundamental shift in consciousness. I don't think it has to be like that for everyone. I think certain people, if they are willing to simply admit that they are wrong or could be wrong even, and take a look at alternative information with an open mind, they do not have to experience that same depth of suffering that some people have had to go through in order to reverse their course in life.
Yeah, I mean, we're all snowflakes at the end of the day. And depending on your level of suffering necessary, I look at it like this. If you hold views and beliefs sacred, for example, if you put, say, your government up on a pedestal, the thing that happens when you put things up on pedestals, eventually whatever's up there gets knocked down and falls on you, and you get crushed its fall. So essentially, it depends how high a pedestal you've given everything else. if you don't have a strong devotion or belief in things, and you're still sitting around questioning and what have you, and wondering whatever's going on, waking up won't require that much suffering really at all. If anything, it can only require one person who's already awake to come and talk to you and start opening your mind and telling you different resources on the web to go and further their knowledge, that kind of thing. That's often all it takes in order to give them the impetus.
Exactly.
And it's the people, I think, that have who have been really, really down into the deep pedestal realm, where they built up these huge beliefs in the system. People who used to be very patriotic and were thinking that patriotic was about a two-party system, and even got really involved, and winds up realizing that they've been lied to. And as the pedestal comes down and crushes them with it, they become the insiders, the whistleblowers, the people who speak out most loudly and proudly about it, and are informing the ones who have woken up without too much trauma at all.
Exactly. You know, it really ultimately comes down to respect for oneself as well, because if we don't develop an internal quality of self-respect, then it's not going to make a difference how much we're lied to. It's not going to make a difference how much we're oppressed or, held back in consciousness. We're going to see it as it's something we deserve somehow. We have to really develop self-respect and self-love before we can ever really give respect or love to anyone else. You know, you can't give what you don't have. So developing self-respect is a big part of that process. And I think that's ultimately, and I mean true self-respect. I'm talking about the respect for the true self, not the, you know, ego-driven, five-sense material world body. You know, just the body, you know, is not what I'm talking about when I talk about self. I'm talking about really being at home and being a sense of comfort with who you really are inside, your constitution, if you will. And that's something that often takes a lot of time to develop, that kind of true self-respect. But I think that's why some people dwell in that lower base state of consciousness for so long, that they don't really love themselves, that they don't really have any true respect for themselves. And so ultimately, they don't care about what happens. They don't care about, you know, the conditions that are all around them or anyone else. You know, finally, when I think I started to become somewhat knowledgeable that directly how I was thinking was directly affecting the quality of my experience in life. And then I was, you know, basically saying to myself, well, if I really care about myself and I really want things to improve for me or anyone else, if I have the capacity to care about anyone else, I have to start reevaluating the things that I think, believe, and I'm acting upon. And if I do that, then the quality of the external experience that comes as a direct consequence and result of how I've been thinking will change as a result. And that's the process that I went through, and it took years to accomplish that, as I've said.
Yeah, exactly. And we approach the system of mind control, right? And as I've learned, mind control is not only addictive, but it's not easy to break. Not only is it not easy to break, but it's not easy to remove its influence. And it can sometimes, like you say, take a long, long time. And at some point, most of us will have to admit that we were under mind control. Now, does that actually inherently make it our fault that we were under the mind control? Or is having the realization that we were enough?
Well, I think there's a part of us that wants to buy the lie and that wants to accept the illusions and wants to be hoodwinked, because the other aspect that comes with knowledge is responsibility. And responsibility is really the status of coming into true adulthood, of true maturity as a being. You know, I'm not even talking about physical age here. You know, because there could be an 80-year-old human being who is really a child in their real true level of maturity. And there could be a 17-year-old being who is quite mature in consciousness. So what I'm talking about here is developing real emotional maturity and understanding that, it can be a painful process to admit that that we were lied to. But if we really care enough about ourselves, we won't care as much about being right, you know, regarding what we previously thought, as we will knowing the truth. But see, a lot of people don't want to know the truth about what's going on because they prefer to stay in that emotionally immature state of being, because they realize that if they stay that way, oh, I can claim that it's not my responsibility to do anything to change it. I won't have to get involved in that work. You know, so let me just stay this, you know, emotional child, never really develop true emotional and mental and psychological maturity. And therefore, I can say, well, I couldn't be held responsible for that because look at what my state of mind was. I didn't really know. I didn't really know what was going on or what was happening to me or to anyone else. You know, I could just stand back and watch things happen and just say, oh, there's nothing that could be done about that. It's all about not wanting to take personal responsibility for what is really taking place all around us. And we all share in that. Every single one of us ultimately contributes to the building of our reality collectively, of what we're experiencing, what all of us are experiencing in the world, whether it's from a perspective of taking certain behavioral actions directly, whether it's a function of not speaking up and saying something about what you know, whether it's a function of, you know, just sitting back and watching it all take place without actually getting involved and trying to sit on the sidelines of life, so to speak. We're all responsible for what's really taking place all around us. And until we all decide that that is true and we understand that we have to become involved in order to change something for the better, I wouldn't tell people to expect much change for the better. I would say you're probably going to get more of what you've been getting, and it's probably going to get even worse. So the only way to reverse that is to become involved, to accept that responsibility, and to understand that that is part of emotional maturity as a being. When you rise up in level of consciousness and you know more, by default, that means you are taking on more responsibility by virtue of what you know. And again, that responsibility includes putting that knowledge out there for other people such that you can help them to make that same transformation.
Yeah, I completely agree. Knowledge is responsibility, and people are so immature that they've jumped the gun and decided instead of avoiding responsibility, they just go right ahead and avoid becoming knowledgeable about things, you know?
Right.
My three most favorite words are I don't know, but my three most hated words are I don't care.
That's right. I love that. And the words I don't know is the beginning of all knowledge. And all knowledge has to begin with the admission you don't know, because then you want to go off in search of the truth and acquire the knowledge of what is true. And I don't care simply means, you know, you're not going to get involved whatsoever in helping to make any change. You know, whether it even be for the negative or the positive change, you know, so you're completely, again, on the sidelines of life when you take that attitude, and you become, you know, inherently become a victim of life as opposed to actually living it. You know, you're being lived by it, I guess you could say. You're being manipulated and you're just someone else's puppet when you take that attitude. And unfortunately, some people are comfortable with that. And I definitely think that's a deplorable attitude and something that we shouldn't tolerate. We should really tell people who think that way that they're really responsible for the ills of this world, and they need to change their mind about it.
Well, we should tell them that life is not a spectator sport, ladies and gentlemen. You do not win the cup if you don't set foot upon the field.
That's right.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mark Passio. We'll be right back.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the darkest 2 hours in talk radio, the show that's all about deadly gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you most certainly will go friggin' nuts. My very special guest, who has not been driven nuts yet, just like me, is Mark Passio. Welcome back. Now, there was an element that we tried to touch on before the start of the second hour, was about Jesus and how people who are deeply into the occult get saved by according to them, are saved by Jesus. But what we found is that basically, if you're of that same mindset where you will follow a religious doctrine, whether that be satanic or Christian, it means you're still in the false paradigm, because the Christian doctrines are often controlled by the Vatican anyway, which is deeply satanic.
Exactly. It's another dialectic that is employed. I fell for this in my youth, because I was once, I wouldn't say extremely religious. I guess in my early youth, I kind of was, but I grew up not in a conservative religious family, wouldn't say, but in one that basically accepted religious doctrine as truth and, you know, just taught that this is what you do because this is what our parents did and their parents did, etc. And so it was just a follow the leader mentality, and that was what was expected of you, and that's what you did. So when I realized that organized religion wasn't telling me the truth, the anger that sparked pushed me into the arms of the dark occult. I kind of like wanted to find the complete opposite of that and the antithesis of religion. And I absolutely did, and, you know, went down that dark path, the left-hand path, as they call it. So that's the dialectic that they're trying to get people to buy into. I was telling you off the air that, you know, a gentleman who I was involved in Satanism with went down that path of then converting to organized religion and basically subscribing to a fundamentalist-type Christian ideology. And again, this is all controlled opposition. It's a controlled paradigm. It's trying to swing you between the two opposite polarities, like Republican, Democrat, Labor, Conservative, etc., liberal, conservative, without really understanding that there is a completely separate option that doesn't involve going back and forth and wavering between these two extreme poles that really don't have anything to do with truth. The third option, or what you could call the middle way, is something that doesn't involve either of those controlled oppositional paradigms, and it's a path that wherever the truth goes, wherever the truth leads, you go. Okay? So it involves actual seeking methodologies, actual methodologies of critical thinking and understanding the laws of nature and how things actually work and what kinds of thoughts and emotions and behaviors will bring about certain results. Okay? Because these are all driven by laws, by knowable laws. We think that they're somehow unknowable, that they're so hidden by creation itself that we could never come to know them, and nothing can be farther from the truth. Natural law is knowable. It can be understood.
And whereas congressional law is unknowable, even by the congressmen who pass them without reading them.
Yeah, sometimes it does seem like that. The point I'm making is that we need to get out of this dialectical way of thinking that if it's not A, then it has to be Z, realizing that there's an entire spectrum in between for our exploration. And there's more than two sides to every issue. You know, so they want to constantly, again, corral consciousness into a box And that's what the Hegelian dialectic is about. It's about pushing people into predetermined outcomes, both of thought and behavior. And that's how things are easily controlled. You limit the options, and then you can control the outcome.
I was just thinking now as you said this, that exists for almost every institution, doesn't it?
Just about.
Like business, for example, you've got that one choice of being just a ruthless corporate raider or whatever, making your money that way, false dialectic because you cause huge amounts of suffering and pain and crappy products. And the other side of the spectrum is you've got to do everything pro bono for free and very nice for everybody. And that's really self-destructive because you wind up basically destroying yourself and your own economic potential for the good of other people who otherwise couldn't appreciate it anyway. And so you miss out entirely on what you're capable of. So there's the business false dialectic. The political false dialectic, as we said, was the two basically, one's the communist and one's fascist, and they're both socialist. But they claim that they're direct opposite of each other. So if it can't be them, it must be him. I'm going to vote for him this election and him the next election. You know, that'll make a difference. No, it fracking won't.
You have the religious dialectic, you know, you're either a devout believer or an atheist, but, you know, nobody talks about the option that lies in between, that, you know, you could believe in an intelligent underlying creative force that underlies everything, this universal energy of oneness and integration and dynamic intelligence, but you don't necessarily have to ascribe it any kind of dogmatic characteristics as religion does. So I'm neither a religionist nor an atheist. You know, I again say that my religion is the discovery of truth, because that's what natural law is all about. That's what following natural law is all about. It's discovering what is actually the truth about what's going on in our experience, and then coming into harmony with the governing agencies of natural law, of what is actually governing the determining qualities, the qualities that actually express in this experience that we're having.
Now, is it because they want you to believe that there's only one truth? That's how they get you? Because the reality is, if you believe both truths, both the opposite spectra at the same time, what would appear as hypocrisy actually is truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea that all paradoxes can ultimately be reconciled, that there is a both and aspect to creation as well. I tend to lean toward that. Truth is discoverable and it is objective, meaning it is outside of our perceptions. In other words, it doesn't make a difference really whether we accept something as true or not. That which is. That which has happened is truth, is kind of my take on what truth is. You know, that there's a wave function of possibility that you go far enough back from the present moment and all possibilities existed simultaneously and anything was possible. But as certain events coalesced, that wave function collapses and then an actual experience takes place in the present moment. And that's what happened. And that was the truth. So my take on it is objective truth is actually what occurred. You know, it doesn't exist in the future. It only exists from the present moment right now, in which everything unfolds, and then we can discover what actually did take place in the past because it has already occurred and cannot be changed. So that's my kind of take on what objective truth entails. And I think solipsism again is dangerous because it promotes the idea of that the only thing that's true is what we perceptually believe or what we consider happened according to our limited perception range.
And I have a good example right here, okay? I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, and I said, look, these people plan to exterminate us all. Don't you get it? And she says, oh, well, I choose to think positively about it.
Right. Yeah, it's the idea that if you don't accept something as possibly happening, that it can't possibly be happening. You know, people will say, well, you talk about the dark occult, but I don't believe in that stuff, so none of that stuff affects me. Well, does it make a difference whether you believe in it? If other people believe in it and they're willing to act upon it, then that is capable of affecting you in your life. I give the example, which people seem to be able to understand a little bit more fully. You know, take the example of an extreme right-wing fundamentalist Christian group, okay, that is militant, you know, and they're militantly anti-abortion, okay? So they're going to, you know, maybe get together and enact a terrorist activity like shooting up an abortion clinic and killing all the doctors within the abortion clinic, okay? Now, you don't need to ascribe to their ideology. You don't need to believe in their religion or even know anything about their religion to be affected by that set of beliefs that someone else does subscribe to. You could be walking along the street, heading to, you know, a restaurant or heading to a library in the vicinity of that abortion clinic and get caught in that crossfire. And those people's worldview and their belief system is going to profoundly affect your life, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand anything about it or not, you know, whether you even knew that the people like that existed in the world, they can affect your reality. And that's the same thing when it comes to dark occultism. You don't need to believe in any of the beliefs that or concepts that these occultists subscribe to and act upon, but they do. And that's the key thing to keep in mind. If enough people are coming together with a certain set of belief systems, they can affect reality, not only for them, but for a whole lot of people. So it doesn't require your belief for it to have an effect. You just simply need to be aware that it exists and people out there do act according to these types of beliefs and that those actions can have a profound effect upon your life.
Yeah, exactly. They say, oh, that just sounds crazy. It can't be true. And then you're like, no, that's the wrong step to take. It's not, it sounds crazy, therefore it's not true. It sounds crazy, therefore the people who believe it are insane. That's what it is, okay?
Right. And even before you get to that step, you know, maybe it sounds crazy, but perhaps I should look into it to determine the veracity of such a claim. Maybe I shouldn't accept it at face value nor reject it at face value, but I should look into it for myself and determine whether it is true or it is not true. And, you know, that's the whole point, is that too many people, I think, are acting upon just ill-informed opinion versus a set of data through that is either verified or ruled out as not being true, one or the other, verified as true or ruled out as not being true, that they can then, you know, basically work from. You know, people aren't exercising critical thinking skills and a process of truth discovery. They're just making up their mind based on their opinion or their comfort level or their likes or their preferences or their dislikes. That's a very, very dangerous path to go down when it comes to determining what is real and what is true, as opposed to looking into it for oneself to determine whether it's real or true.
Yeah, I love watching documentaries that I think I'm not going to like, that's criticizing somebody who I hold really up here as like a decent seer or prophet or whatever. You know, if somebody seems to have a lot of credibility, very successful, and they have a lot of influence on me, and then one of my listeners or something will chuck me a documentary debunking them, I don't actually want to watch it, right, at that moment. But right. I do watch it anyway, and I usually feel glad that I have, because it actually helps to solidify some of the ideas I had about the person and helps to take away some of the falsehoods I held about that person. So if anything, doing those things that are negatively viewed by you and your limited perception, actually engaging with things that you're unfamiliar with is almost always beneficial.
Vinny, I totally agree with that, and that's something I do myself as well. People have in the past falsely accused me of, you know, just paying attention to things that I already agree with and reading those books and watching those documentaries, and nothing could be farther from the truth. I mean, I read books by occultists, dark occultists. I read books by globalists. I read books in defense of globalization and authoritarianism. You know, you have to understand all perspectives. You have to look into everyone's claims. You can't just say, I'm going to limit my perceptions to this, and that's it. And anything that falls outside of that, I'm not going to pay attention to at all. I think we have to be aware of everything that's out there to the extent that we're capable of. We need to be generalists, you know, not specialize and, you know, again, put our consciousness in a box and say, I'm going to pay attention to this if it's in the box, but anything that's outside of this little box is off limits for human consumption, and I'm going to ignore it. It's definitely a path toward ignorance and opening ourselves up to all kinds of manipulation because we're not taking in data from an eclectic variety of sources. And that's the best way to really build a broad data set such that we can more accurately determine the veracity of information is to collect and process data from a wide variety of sources.
Exactly. I mean, the smaller your narrow focus is, the less information you get in. I mean, if you close the aperture of a camera to let in less light, do you think that things are brighter? No, it's not. It gets darker and the focus gets worse and you wind up having a very, very lackluster picture. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Back in a minute.
On December 16th, 1961... the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. You've been listening to the immortal words of Bill Hicks, fighting for truth, freedom, and justice wherever you find it. My very special guest is Mark Passio, and I came up with a brilliant realization about why. Have you noticed that whenever an establishment changes, it just builds another establishment that prevents it being disestablished by the next coming establishment? It's stupid! Can you stop thinking that there is such a thing as establishment? There's no such thing. If there's still murder, rape, theft, or scumbaggery of any kind going on anywhere, then there is literally no such thing as an establishment because it's not perfect yet. Okay, so could we please, you know, being the alternative media, taking over the established mainstream media, be the first establishment to realize that there's no such thing as an establishment and that there's only emergent cultural change, and so we will not suppress and stop the coming people that are supposed to take us over and change culture for the better, okay? Could we please do that? You know, I think this is a really important thought, and people need to ponder on this. Do you think that anybody's ever maintained control of anything forever? No! So why would you ever try to establish something as foolish and temporary as any kind of establishment?
Exactly. It's the danger that we really have to watch out for of becoming too attached to our paradigm or our worldview or our way of seeing things, because as we all evolve, eventually, you know, again, as you said, a new paradigm will come up, and that will be time for us to, you know, let loose of the attachments that we may have built up in our worldview and our way of looking at things, and to go with that wave of evolutionary progress and consciousness as opposed to trying to stay attached and control things. So it's definitely something that people even in the alternative media now, who are, you know, are the way clearers themselves, they're trying to clear a path for other people, have to watch out for that they don't become just like the people who are trying to thwart that forward progress right now in the mainstream media. So it's a very powerful realization there that you've just vocalized.
Yeah, and I think that the real way that we'd even accomplish such an establishment like that would be to incorporate the new ideas, to cooperate with the up-and-comers, and to eventually hand down to them the responsibilities that we all took very seriously, and give them to do what they wish to it, having become part of the alleged established order, to understand that yes, you will never maintain control forever, and the only way to make sure that there's at least some form of stability for everybody else is to incorporate these new ideas as they are come up with, and then cooperate with the people who are changing society for the better, and eventually accepting the responsibility of handing it down to them for their responsibility. Okay, not entirely dissimilar from how a nuclear family works, except at a government level.
I love that. It's like passing the torch as opposed to erecting a firewall. You know, it's a more nurturing attitude as opposed to a dominating and controlling attitude. And that's really what we're trying to help to instill in people now. And I think it should be no different. Even if we become the emergent paradigm, you know, should that happen, and that would be wonderful if it does. But again, we would still have to be on guard that we don't become the firewall for the next paradigm that is emerging. Like you said, there is no such thing as the establishment. It's just all an emergent, ever-flowing progression of consciousness.
There is no spoon. You know, and finally, just to cap the show off here, Mark, I asked you over the break if, and I'll try to do this with everybody now, is there anything that you wish you could have said at some point on other radio shows, but there wasn't enough time or the right questions weren't asked to bring it into the conversation, something that perhaps maybe a bit too risque or what have you?
Well, one of the things I think I've sort of held back on is talking about human origins and how that may be related to extraterrestrial biological life. It's something I've always been interested in and have studied through the works of various researchers, you know, too many to name. But I work with some UFO groups in the Philadelphia area, along with MUFON and another group, UFO discussion group that meets here monthly in Philadelphia. I think that particular discussion group has contributed some very high consciousness ideas in the discussions that they have monthly. I always look forward to going to it. The UFO phenomenon in general is something that really expanded my own consciousness and woke me up, you know, much faster than I probably would have on my own without ever exploring those types of topics. You know, I think there's also a lot of disinformation in that entire culture and in that world. But again, it kind of helps one to break down the barrier that is erected around the right brain, you know, around the nurturing side of the mind, around the creative and imaginative side of the mind. And, you know, not to look at that kind of keeps us rooted in this left-brained, pure materialistic world only paradigm that is contributing to so much of the negative worldview, the poisoned worldview and suffering that we're experiencing. So maybe in the future, it's something that I will want to explore a little bit more. I'm going to take more time to, of course, unfold my solutions section on my show. But the UFO phenomenon is something that, again, has been deeply instrumental in the advancement of my own consciousness. And it's something that, again, I feel like I've probably held back a little bit in discussing and making it openly known that, you know, I'm a very serious enthusiast about. And it's something I'll probably explore more in the future. Like I said, probably after I go through a lot of the solutions-oriented approaches that I want to cover regarding how to improve human consciousness. And just for the record, if people want to check out all of the body of work that I've done so far and listen to my radio show, you can go to my website, whatonearthishappening.com. You can check out my radio show on Oracle Broadcasting, which is broadcast every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time here in the United States. And check out all the podcast archives. I highly recommend checking those out. You could check out the videos that I've posted to my site as well. But I highly recommend going through all of my podcasts from the very beginning, because that's where I really paint the expanded picture and go into detail on all of these types of topics. And if you follow those through in the progression from the first one all the way up to the most recent, a very large and expanded picture and consciousness will open up to you. And that vista will really help you to expand your own horizons. So check it out at whatonearthishappening.com.
Mm. An interesting side note here. You mentioned about how there's disinfo in the sort of aliens and reptilian sort of field, sure, and what have you. I had a hilarious comment on one of my videos the other day. I interviewed Stuart Swerdlow about the reptilians and the Galactic, yes, Empire and all of that kind of stuff. And this person comes on and she goes, "This person's disinfo. There's no such thing as shape-shifting reptilians. There's only 4 breeds of reptilians and they can't shape-shift. Believe the truth, people."
Wow. Yeah, I like Stuart Swerdlow's information on mind control and Montauk. You know, definitely interesting info that he has to put forward regarding, you know, all of the different kinds of possible extraterrestrial intelligence. You know, who knows? The sky is the limit, you know, quite literally. There's probably more variation of life out there than we could possibly even conceptualize. It's probably stranger than we could even imagine. So, you know, who knows what is really out there? I don't dismiss anything regarding that. And, you know, I would never say never when it comes to any of that. I would definitely exercise caution when it comes to that. I would definitely take a skeptical approach, a skeptical attitude. But I wouldn't say, no, there is no such thing as any of those things, because look at how large the universe is. Look at how vast time is, you know, how expansive time is. Who knows what variant forms of life have evolved and emerged over millennia and millions and even billions of years. We're a relatively young species when it comes to, you know, cosmic time. And when we really take that level of understanding of time and space into perspective, we realize that pretty much any possibility could present itself and emerge, and probably is already happening here. It's just a matter of us being conscious enough to recognize it and to take it into our so far limited perceptual awareness that hopefully is expanding daily when it comes to life here on Earth and elsewhere. So again, that's something that I'm probably going to explore a little bit in the future, and you know, make it known a little bit more that this is something that I've always been interested in, and again has expanded my own personal horizons when it comes to consciousness. And hopefully I could take a little bit of what I've come to understand about that and have inspire some other people to look into it and try to press for more truth regarding that, because it's something that's been extremely covered up because they don't want people looking into something that can expand their awareness.
The end of the show. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.
Vinny, thank you.